hand grenades are one of the most enduring and effective weapons in military history. Compact and deadly, they have been used in warfare for hundreds of years, consistently refined and improved to meet the needs of soldiers in combat. Although they don't create huge fireballs or flip cars like in the movies, when used in close-quarter battles, trenches, bunkers, or dense urban environments, a simple hand grenade can unleash an immediate and catastrophic impact. In this video, we will show you how this small weapon can be extremely effective and dangerous, as well as how it can be used in various ways, in offense, defense, and booby trapping. We will also show you various types of hand grenades and their functions, describe injuries caused by some of them, which are purely horrifying, and you will hear some creative yet disturbing ways people have used them, which you have never heard before. Let's get started. Despite advances in technology, the basic principle behind the grenade remains unchanged: to deliver explosive and shrapnel power into hard-to-reach places. The invention of what we could consider today's hand grenade can be traced back to the 15th century. They evolved into hollow iron balls filled with gunpowder, sealed with a fuse that had to be lit manually before throwing. These early grenades required precise timing and considerable bravery, hoping for everything to work properly and not to end up killing yourself or your comrades. The real evolution occurred during World War I, when the static nature of trench warfare made grenades incredibly useful in horrific trench battles. They were used with great effect both in offense and defense. The two most famous World War I examples are the stick grenades used by the Germans, known for their distinctive long handles which allowed them to be thrown at a greater distance, and the iconic Mills bomb created by the British, which became the model for modern grenades with its grooved cast iron shell, designed to fragment upon explosion and cause maximum injury. For example, barbed wire barriers were strategically placed far enough from the trench so that enemy soldiers attempting to cut through it would be just within the range of the defenders' grenades, but beyond the effective range of their own. This meant that as the enemy approached, they became easy targets for grenade attacks without the risk of soldiers defending the trench needing to even expose themselves. On the other hand, small raiding parties would silently creep into no man's land at night, approach the enemy trenches, and then hurl a series of grenades before jumping in to fight the stunned survivors. This method allowed for quick, aggressive attacks that disrupted enemy lines and gathered crucial intelligence. By World War II, grenades had become a standard part of the soldiers' arsenal, used extensively across all theaters of the conflict. Depending on the need, there are several types of hand grenades. Fragmentation grenades, in short, frag, are the typical hand grenades that come to mind. They contain 6 to 8 ounces of explosive material and a similar or greater amount of shrapnel. Some include segmented wire strapped around the explosive to maximize the shrapnel effect and shoot out thousands of little metal pieces at high velocity. When detonated, the grenade's casing breaks apart, sending metal fragments flying at high speeds over a wide area. They are deadly within 5 meters, capable of causing catastrophic injuries like severe burns, collapsed lungs, and fatal tissue damage due to the shockwave and shrapnel. The wounding range extends to 15 meters, and everyone within that range will most likely be wounded to some extent. The flash can cause serious burns, and in confined spaces, all of these effects are amplified because the compression waves from the explosion have nowhere to go. If you are lucky, only your eardrums will be gone, your nose will bleed, and you'll suffer a major brain injury due to concussion. These are also called defensive grenades, suitable for defending a trench or house. Throw it outside while you are protected. High explosive, HE, grenades contain twice the explosive power of fragmentation grenades, but typically do not include much shrapnel. However, some versions come with a shrapnel sleeve that can be added to enhance lethality. These are also called assault grenades because they have less shrapnel. Their lethal range is slightly smaller, so advancing soldiers during an attack would throw a grenade in front and then advance, thus they wouldn't be hurt by their own weapon. Here's where things get really scary. White phosphorus grenades, mainly used to mark targets, provide smoke cover, and start fires. These grenades, when activated, burn intensely at 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit. When segments of burning white phosphorus come into contact with anything, it sticks and burns until it's completely used up or depleted of oxygen. The white phosphorus can burn through almost anything it contacts, including human flesh, making it extremely feared on the battlefield. It also consumes all oxygen if thrown into a bunker or enclosed space, suffocating everyone who is not immediately burned. Soldiers who get burning particles on them have to physically remove them with a knife, or completely shut off the oxygen by covering the wound with mud or something similar. But even then, when it comes into contact with oxygen, it will reignite and continue to burn. If that isn't enough, the M34 variant's explosive radius exceeds its safe throwing distance. Due to the weight, the average soldier can only throw at about 30 meters. However, the bursting radius is 35 meters, so in order to avoid getting toasted by your own grenade, you need overhead cover or a rifle grenade launcher. Next up are thermite grenades, used primarily for destroying metal targets like artillery pieces, vehicle engines, and weapon systems. Thermite grenades generate intense heat, up to 4,500 degrees Fahrenheit, capable of melting through steel. They are also effective against enemy bunkers, but require getting close to deploy effectively. They weigh about 2 pounds, and are not designed to be thrown, but must be placed directly above what you want to destroy. A single thermite grenade can completely disable even a tank. They are often used to destroy equipment, either enemy or one's own, in case of a necessary rapid evacuation, to prevent it from falling into enemy hands. It can burn through the barrel of a cannon or tank or an engine block, effectively rendering the equipment inoperable without significant repairs. However, if thrown into an enemy bunker, it would certainly ruin their day. There are also illumination, smoke, stun, and gas grenades. Including flashbangs and tear gas, these are used primarily for crowd control and to incapacitate without lethal force. Stun grenades create a loud noise and a blinding flash to disorient targets, while tear gas causes severe irritation to the eyes and respiratory system. As you can see, the use of grenades can have many different functions on the battlefield. However, some of the techniques and stories you're about to hear are at the very least disturbing. For example, one exceptional technique used mainly in desperate situations is cooking grenades. When the enemy is so close that there is a great chance they will throw back the grenade before it explodes, a soldier would pull the pin, let the spoon fly off while still holding the grenade, and then, assuming the fuse is 5 seconds, count to 2 or 3. This way, when he throws the grenade, it needs just 2 or 3 seconds to explode, making it impossible to be thrown back. This is a very risky method and rarely used, but in urban warfare, such situations can occur. One common method of using hand grenades is as booby traps. An ordinary frag grenade can, through creative ideas, become a very effective deadly trap. The most common booby trap is the wire trap. 1 or 2 grenades can be tied to a tree beside a trail, for example. The pin would be pulled halfway out, and a wire tied to it and stretched across the path. When someone passes by, they would pull the wire with their foot, pulling out the pin and activating the grenade. This can also be done with a food can, where a grenade with the pin pulled is placed inside, and the can holds the spoon in place. Then, the grenade would also be tied with a wire and set up so that the enemy would pull it out of the can, thus releasing the spoon and activating it. In such situations, grenades with a fuse much shorter than standard are often used, and immediately after the spoon flies off, the grenade explodes. This is done so that the enemy who triggers the booby trap, after hearing the spoon fly off, does not have the standard 3 to 5 seconds to react, take cover, or hide before the grenade explodes, but it detonates immediately. Soldiers can manually do this by disassembling the grenade and manually shortening the fuse. Additionally, grenades with the pin pulled can be placed under various objects that the enemy might move, releasing pressure from the grenade and activating it. This can include enemy bodies, various objects, ammunition, weapons, or undermines when deminers try to deactivate them, doors whose opening would activate the grenade, and similar setups. Japanese soldiers in World War II, before banzai charges, would put grenades in their pockets with the pins pulled and a rubber band around the spoon soaked in gasoline. When they died in combat and their bodies remained on the battlefield, the gasoline would slowly disintegrate the rubber bands holding the spoon of the grenades, releasing them after some time and activating them. The idea was that when American soldiers inspected the bodies, they would be exposed to the risk of dying from a grenade on the dead Japanese soldier's body. In close combat, the use of grenades often reveals acts of extraordinary bravery on both sides. For a grenade attack to be successful, a soldier would have to approach an enemy position extremely closely. There are many examples of brave soldiers who either stealthily approached an enemy bunker or trench in utmost silence, just to get within a few meters and throw grenades, causing total chaos among the enemy. Such actions were often undertaken by partisans during World War II, many of whom were children as young as 15 years old. They were called bombers, exceptionally brave, often volunteering for the riskiest missions. There are also cases during intense close combat where grenades were thrown and then thrown back by the other side. Many soldiers risked, and some even gave their lives to save others, by quickly reacting to an incoming grenade, by throwing it back to the enemy before it exploded, or even throwing themselves on the grenade, sacrificing themselves to protect their comrades. The thumbnail image of this video is of U.S. Marine Kyle Carpenter, a Medal of Honor recipient, who shielded his comrades with his body, sustaining catastrophic injuries but fortunately survived, although with severe consequences. Another similar story comes from my parents' school, during a history class, when the teacher brought what he thought was a deactivated World War II hand grenade to show students and make the class more interesting. When he heard during the demonstration that something snapped, the teacher instantly understood that the grenade was actually live and the fuse was now activated. He immediately hugged the grenade, turned towards a corner of the classroom, and shielded the students with his body. This story shows how grenades can be dangerous even outside of wartime, as many remain or end up in the hands of civilians, often curious children, with frequently horrific consequences. I remember my great-grandfather telling us how after World War II, as children, they would find and throw grenades for fun or use them for fishing. It's interesting how, despite all the technological advances, the hand grenade is still fundamentally the same weapon it was hundreds of years ago, and remains just as effective and essential today.